The following message was given at Trinity Bible Church in Powell, Wyoming.
Our Father in heaven, we ask once again that you would bless us, that you would bless us by your word. I ask that you would feed us, that you would be with us. We are weak. We are needy. We are in desperate need of your grace, which you give to us through the channel of your word. We ask that you would pour that out richly upon us this afternoon, that we would grow, that we would understand, that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, that you would give us hearts to believe. You would bless this means for the sake of your holy name. Be with us in a mighty way, O God. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. We continue to go through our catechism as we were just reciting the Apostles' Creed. Reminded that we have been going through this for a while because we did cover piece by piece in the Apostles' Creed as we're going through our catechism last year. And I just realized it's probably something we have to revisit at some point. But we are coming to the end of our catechism, which simply is a way to learn the faith through question and answer. It's topical. It covers the major sections of the Word of God. And we've come to that last section on the Lord's Prayer, where we're going to be going through the Lord's Prayer bit by bit, or petition by petition. If you remember, the catechism is split up into three parts that really follows the Christian faith. The first is of man's sin and misery. We realize that we are fallen in Adam. We are in sin. The law of God reveals this to us and that we need redemption. And this redemption is found in our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Father has sent. The Spirit takes the work of Christ and applies it. So we saw that. And then how do we respond? Well, we respond in thankfulness. And that's the third section of man's thankfulness, which is the section we're in now. And how we demonstrate our thankfulness is by keeping God's commandments, all 10 commandments of the law of God, and prayer. We seek grace from God in prayer. It's one of the means through which we depend upon Him. And it's one of the chief ways in which we show our thankfulness. We give Him thanks. And the format that the Catechism uses is the Lord's Prayer, because this is how Jesus taught His disciples, us, to pray. And this afternoon we begin looking at the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. And there are six of them. And we're going to cover the first one today, but there's six of them. The first pertains to God's name, that His name is hallowed. The second pertains to God's kingdom, that your kingdom come. The third pertains to God's will, your will be done. And then there's a shift from focus on God to focus on man, our needs. The fourth is for God to give us our daily bread, to meet our physical needs. The fifth is our daily need of forgiveness. And the sixth is our ongoing need for sanctification, that we'd be delivered from temptation and the evil one. So today we're looking at the first petition, which pertains to God's name. Hallowed be your name. Now, when we think of name in our culture, it's usually different than the way it was in the ancient Near East. When God speaks of His name, He's simply referring to who He is, His revelation. And that is why, for example, in Psalm 9:10, we read, "Those who know your name put their trust in you." To know God's name does not mean that they know what label by which God is called, or the alphabetical letters that are ascribed to God. Rather, it's much deeper than that. It refers to who He is. This is why knowing His name is paralleled with trusting in Him. It's to know Him. To know His name is to know Him, and therefore to trust Him. One's name also refers to one's reputation, what one is known for. We still use this in our society today. I still remember that jingle, Midas, the name you can trust. It's not just trusting a label, not trusting alphabetical letters in a certain arrangement, but it's the reputation, what the work that that company is known for. And we say things like this today, like, oh, that child's behavior is going to ruin the family reputation or the family name, you know, what they're known for. And this helps us understand what is meant then by God's name being hallowed. Hallowed is a word meaning to sanctify, to set apart. It means to be made holy, it's distinct. Now, holy does not always mean to make more morally pure. That is a meaning of the word holy, but it's not the only meaning. Because inanimate objects, such as utensils and pots in the temple, are said to be holy. That is, they're set apart for God's use. So it's more than just morally pure, although that's included in the definition of holy. The word has the sense of being set apart and distinct, separate from all others, separate from all things. When it comes to God's name, it means for God's name alone to be exalted, set apart from every name, that his name is magnified and glorified like no other. Now, this does not refer to God changing his name or himself to make himself even more hallowed or greater than he is. Since God is perfect, that's impossible. If God became more hallowed, more holy, if he became more exalted in himself, that would imply that he wasn't already perfect, because he just got better than what was he before. And so this is not God changing, because God cannot change. He has no need to change, and he cannot change. He can't be other than who he already is. He's God. Rather, for God to hallow his name means for there to be a change in us. We are asking for his name to be magnified by us on earth. It is for us to recognize his glory. It is for us to acknowledge the goodness of his name. It is for us here on earth to draw attention to his name. For our thoughts to behold God's name with reverence, awe, love, and adoration, so that our attitudes and our actions demonstrate the greatness of his name. And we see that in our catechism question this afternoon, question 141. What is the first petition? And the answer is, hallowed be your name. In this, we are asking that you would grant us first to know you rightly and worship, praise, and magnify your almighty goodness, justice, mercy, and truth, which shine in all your works. Also, we are asking you to direct our whole life, thoughts, words, and works to the end that your most holy name be not reproached by us, but rather renowned with honor and praises. So we're going to see this in three parts. We're going to see this petition in three parts. Acknowledgement is the first part. The second part is attitude. The third part is action. Acknowledgement, attitude, action. So first part, acknowledgement. Acknowledgement means to recognize something. It is to agree with the true knowledge of something. I use this to refer to the catechism saying, in this we are asking you that you would grant us first to know you rightly. That is to acknowledge him. Acknowledge him for who he is. But we have to know who he is. We have to know his name if we are going to rightly hallow, magnify it. And so we want to truly know his name and grow in the knowledge of it. And God has revealed himself in two realms. The first realm is in nature or creation, called general revelation. And the second realm in which God has revealed himself is through the scriptures, That is special revelation. God has truly revealed himself in these two realms. First, God has truly revealed himself in nature and creation, where some of his attributes are clearly perceived so that all men, even unbelievers, are said to know God. Paul says in Romans 1, 19 through 20. But to acknowledge him, to know him in a saving way, to know him with a true heart of faith, comes only from the other realm in which God has revealed himself. That is scripture, special revelation, where we come to know him savingly, and we can even understand his natural revelation rightly. And this means that we must have a robust understanding of scripture, how to rightly handle it, for it's the only place to gain any saving knowledge for God, so that we can magnify his name. Again, obviously, we cannot magnify God's name if we don't know his name rightly or truly. Well, the heretic Steve Furtick was given a passionate sermon one morning before a large crowd, and he said with great passion and zeal, God broke his law for the sake of love. The crowd goes wild and everyone's cheering and so happy, and everyone's just so excited. And his passion was great. His delivery was spot on. His zeal was practically impeccable. So did he magnify God? No, he did not. He spoke lies about God, that God broke his own law. The law is a reflection of God. That's impossible. But he got everyone stirred up and passionate about God. But just because there's great zeal and passion does not mean that God was magnified, that his name was hallowed. In fact, the opposite happened. His name was dishonored. And his name was blasphemed, even though there is great zeal and passion. So just because somebody has great zeal and passion does not mean that his name is hallowed. We have to know his name truly and acknowledge his name if we want to hallow his name. So when we say, hallowed be your name, we are asking God that we truly acknowledge his name. The second part of hallowing God's name, not only acknowledgement, but also in our attitudes. Our catechism says, and worship, praise, and magnify your almighty goodness, justice, mercy, and truth, which shine in all your works. So when we are asking God to hallow his name, we are asking that he would give us a knowledge of him that leads to worship, praise, and magnifying his almighty goodness. This addresses our minds. This addresses our heart attitude, our inner affections, that our inner affections are attuned to God's glory. We can have the right doctrine about God and not speak heretical things, but if we do not have a true love of him in our hearts, then we do not hallow his name. This is the opposite error. And this is a common complaint against those who are doctrinally heady or like to debate right doctrine and can do so very well. And, you know, this is certainly a danger that we must be on guard against, lest we have our knowledge puff up. Now, some respond to this by saying, well, you know, I don't like doctrine because it leads to pride. And, you know, I've been in bad situations where people focus on doctrine. They were arrogant. So I'm just going to ignore doctrine. But the answer is not to set aside doctrine or knowledge and be ignorant. You know, God says in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But rather, the answer is to repent of our arrogance, not of our knowledge. We want to truly know God, but we want that to lead to adoration in our hearts, a true humility out of seeing his greatness. The catechism says that the knowledge of God's goodness, justice, mercy, and truth shine in all his works. This is how we grow in our knowledge of God, leading to praise Him. It's as we consider His marvelous works in creation, in providence, and especially in redemption. As I already mentioned, God's works are obvious to all in creation. Romans 1:20 says, God's invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. God's glory and His power, might, wisdom, righteousness, and perfection have been clearly seen in the creation, even by unbelievers. They can clearly see these things, even though they don't acknowledge them, even though they don't acknowledge this God. God's goodness is also seen in His providence. This is God working out His will in creation, providing and caring for it. Psalm 145 says, "The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all that He has made. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing." This is God's providence, caring for all things. And God's glorious attributes are most vividly seen in redemption. That is in the gospel. When Moses asked God to show him His glory, God says, "I will proclaim My name to you." And this is what God then proclaimed to Moses as He was proclaiming His name. He said, the Lord God, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. The glorious name of God, that He's a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, forgiving sin, but not compromising justice, is seen clearly and eminently in the gospel, in the good news of what He has done in Christ to save sinners. Almighty God, for us men and for our salvation, took it upon Himself to rescue us wretched sinners, that He would become a man, that He would live a perfect life of righteousness for us, so that we would be covered with the righteousness not of our own, the righteousness that we were required to do, that we were required to obey the law, but we did not. So God did it in our place as a man, so that we would get credit for it. And then He goes to the cross and He suffers that awful curse, being crushed for our transgressions in our place, and rising again, and now interceding for us. This reveals the glorious name of our God. This reveals that God is a God merciful and compassionate, that He is a God who forgives sin. As seen at the cross, He is willing to give up His own Son so that sinners would go free and be forgiven. And what more proof do we need of His willingness and His love than the cross? And that He did conquer our sins by conquering the grave, being raised from the dead. He's seated at the Father's right hand for us. And He's coming back again for us. These are glorious truths, and it shows that God is a God merciful and gracious, that He forgives sin. This is who our God is, and this is seen most eminently at the cross. But He's not a God who compromises justice. He's not a God that sets aside justice and righteousness and just winks at sin. Rather, the cross also reveals that God is a God who will by no means clear the guilty. And He had His Son stand in our place so that sins would be paid for in full, justice satisfied, sins
propitiated, and we are forgiven. Oh, our God is gracious. Our God is merciful. Our God is good. Our God is righteous and just. And so the cross reveals who our God is. And we who believe, we love to hear of these works again and again. We love to meditate on them. We love to chew on them. We love to think about them all the time and hear of them all the time. We love to study them. Psalm 111:2 says, "Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them." What do we want to study? His works, chief of which is works of redemption. A study is not just hearing about it once and moving on and just tell me about myself. No, study is, I want to keep hearing about it. I want to keep chewing on it. I want to deepen my understanding of it. I don't just want to move on. I want to dwell on this. I want to dive deeply into it. I want to explore every angle because I delight in it. See, religious hypocrites don't delight in it, and so they don't care to hear about God's work. I mean, of course, they just want to be told what to do. They want to hear about their works. They just tell me what to do so that, you know, I don't keep feeling guilty or so that I can boast in myself and be secure in my righteousness. But those who know God love to hear about His works, meditate on them, study them, grow in their knowledge and understanding of them. As the psalmist says in Psalm 145:5, "On your wondrous works I will meditate." And then this leads to, "Oh, now what would you have me do for you, Master? Guide me in the way so that I may hallow your name." And this brings us to the third part of the petition. So we just got done seeing acknowledgement, attitude. The third is actions. Our catechism says, "Also, we are asking you to direct our whole life, thoughts, words, and works to the end, that your most holy name be not reproached by us, but rather renowned with honor and praises." So when we are asking God, "Hallowed be your name, hallow your name, magnify your name among us," we are saying, "Oh, may we by our actions not bring any blasphemy against your name, not reproach it." Now, Paul talks about this in Romans 2:24, where he says, "The name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you." And when David, the king of God's people, sinned against God, "I committed adultery and murder," God said, "Because of this deed, you have given occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme." So because we bear the name Christian, Christian, we bear Christ's name when we confess Christ, when we call ourselves Christians, our actions do reflect on His name, and we don't want to blemish the revelation of His name here on earth. We don't want to cause His name to be reproached. And so Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 2:12, "Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." Now, of course, we're never going to do this perfectly. We're going to sin. We're going to blow it. We're going to mess up. And that's why it's important to tell people that Christianity isn't actually about us. Christianity isn't about our good works and saying, "This is what Christianity is about. It's about us and our good works." And then when we blow it, they say, "Well, I'm not really sure about this Christianity thing." While it is certainly an important element that we do good works in the name of Christ, yet Christianity is about His work, how He has saved us, an evil, fallen, sinful people, no different than anyone else in this world, but saved out of this world by His grace for the praise of His name. And so we focus not on what we do, but on what Christ has done and what He is doing in us in graciously sanctifying us. And so we tell others about our Lord. We tell others about His saving work. Not only in justification, but in sanctification and eventually in glorification. So that He gets all the praise and glory. And so that His name alone is hallowed. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we give You thanks and we give You praise because Your name is magnified and glorious. And we ask that You would hallow Your name among us, that we would recognize and acknowledge the glory of Your name in our hearts, in our attitudes, in our actions, amongst one another and in this world, to our neighbors, so that You receive greater glory and praise here on earth. We ask that You would grant this to us for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You have been listening to a message from Trinity Bible Church in Powell, Wyoming. To receive more information about Trinity Bible Church or to support the ministry, go to tbcwyoming.com. That is tbcwyoming.com.